Adam McKay has made his mark on comedy many times over. In his 20s, he helped start the Upright Citizens Brigade, the improv comedy powerhouse. Then he became a writer and head writer for Saturday Night Live, where he fell in with Will Ferrell. The two of them started a production company and launched the website Funny or Die, and together made some of the most successful comedies of the last decade, with McKay directing, including Anchorman.
I'm not a baby, I'm a man. I am an Anchorman.
Step Brothers.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but I'm going to kick you repeatedly in the balls, Gardocky.
And Talladega Nights.
Shake and bake, Cal.
Woo! Shake and bake!
McKay's newest film is occasionally funny, but it's as much tragedy as comedy. The Big Short is about the financial collapse of 2008. It tells the stories of a few real-life non-masters of the universe, guys who realized the Wall Street house of cards was about to collapse and made small fortunes by making that bet.
Anyone can see that there's a real estate bubble.
Actually, no one can see a bubble. That's what makes it a bubble.
That's dumb, Lawrence. It's always markers. Mortgage fraud quintupled since 2000, and the average take-home pay is flat, but home prices are soaring. That means the homes are debt, not assets.
So Mike Burry, a guy who gets his hair cut at Supercuts and doesn't wear shoes, knows more than Alan Greenspan and Hank Paulson.
Yeah, Dr. Mike Burry, yes, he does.
That was Christian Bale from The Big Short. Adam McKay, thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So to tell the story of the mortgage crisis and the debt crisis, you've got to deal with a lot of financial ideas and terms that even today remain sort of arcane to lots of people, mortgage, you know, CDOs and synthetic CDOs and all the rest. Did you know how you were going to approach that problem for a big popular entertainment from the beginning?
Right away when I read the book, what I loved was that the information about this stuff was so fused to the characters. I'd just never seen a story that was so information heavy, but because the characters were so great, it drove you through it. So I knew I wanted to put it in, and there haven't been a lot of Wall Street movies that really get into the details. So yeah, we made this decision that we were going to go into it. And really the point being that is, you know, complicated as it sounds, it's really not that complicated.
No.
You're really moving just money and debt around, and then they give it strange names and act like no one should understand. So that was kind of my approach to it, was this really isn't that tricky.
Although you decided, and I think pretty brilliantly, to do this kind of formally experimental thing with scenes where you have random celebrities break the fourth wall and stop the action of the movie to explain these important, arcane financial things in understandable ways.
Okay, so here's how a synthetic CDO works. Let's say I bet $10 million on a blackjack hand.
$10 million because this hand is meant to represent a single mortgage bond. Okay, Selena has a pretty good hand here, showing 18, dealer showing 7. That's a really good hand for Selena. Good odds. In fact, your chances of winning this hand are 87%.
So, my odds are good. I'm on a winning streak. Everybody in this place wants to get in on the action. How could I lose, right?
Now, this is a classic error.
Selena Gomez, who seems totally random. Was that an idea that you had sitting around and said, oh, now I can use this?
Yes. I mean, well, the original idea was that, you know, you have pop culture. It's around us all the time. You're always hearing about who's dating who and celebrity gossip. And the simple idea was like, well, what would happen if that pop culture gave us real information?
Right.
Like, you know, what would happen if Kim Kardashian, every time she was on camera, described the LIBOR scandal?
Right. It would be like the Soviet Union in 1957.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's good. So that was the idea, was, you know, America obviously is such a big part of our culture, sports, celebrity gossip. But what would happen if real information came through from that? So, you know, it's a little bit of a poke at that side of our culture. And at the same time, you get the information kind of in a fun way.
And you have the Ryan Gosling character also being the narrator and speaking to the viewer, which in addition to providing information that couldn't be provided otherwise, it sort of says to the audience, yeah, this is about a serious subject, but we're not taking it that seriously.
Yeah, we just didn't want that, you know, that monolithic, intimidating vibe to this story. And I feel like so many times when you talk about financing, you know, finance and banking, it always just seems so impressive and heavy and weighty. It's a strange thing in our culture that for some reason, when people talk about like politics or finance or international politics, there's this sense that like it's boring or it's like something that's like work. But our idea was like, no, it's exciting. It's exciting to actually know what's going on. There's an energy to it
right.
when these guys figure it out. And if you look at the first 60% of the movie, when they're really cracking this, there's a real charge to it.
Absolutely. So this movie is based on the nonfiction book by Michael Lewis, Real People, Real Events. You only changed, as I understand it, a couple of names and only one or two significant details.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a lot more legit than the usual Hollywood based on a true story, right?
I was kind of annoyed. I wanted the this is a true story.
Did you anguish over that at all?
I anguished. I laid awake at night, staring at the ceiling.
I can imagine.
It was like Martin Sheen in the beginning of
there
Apocalypse
you go.
Now.
And then you had your heart attack and you got okay. You've got this amazing cast that includes Brad Pitt and Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Christian Bale, who plays the most extravagantly idiosyncratic character of them, which got me to wondering. We've all heard that he, Christian Bale, is this hardcore method actor who never drops character. Was he like that?
You know, I expected that, but he's very easygoing. The only thing he does is when he's on set, he's dialed into the character. He is the character, but he doesn't make you call him by the character's name. He's not doing that. So he's talking to you as himself. But he's got all the mannerisms and the voice already going. He's like,
and it doesn't stop.
And it doesn't stop. He does such an amazing amount of research and prep. He actually got the real clothes from the real guy.
Really?
Yeah, the real guy apparently had like seven of the same T-shirts that you see him wearing in the movie.
And so shorts and sneakers and...
And that was it. That was his uniform. So the real guy gave him those clothes and he's wearing them.
And there's like, a, I don't know, 30, 40 second scene of him playing drums. He's a metal guy and he's alone in his basement or something playing drums. So did he learn to play the drums in order to do that?
He did.
Really?
Yeah. He learned in 3 weeks how to play double kick drum speed metal. And the coach that he got said, you can't do this. This is really difficult. And Christian's like, well, just show me. And he just practiced and practiced. And then right before we started shooting, he was messing around with his kids on a trampoline. He completely blew out his knee. ACL, MCL, patella, everything. And I said, well, Christian, you have to get a double. You can't play that kind of drums with your knee is just shredded. He's like, no, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let me just do it. So when he's playing the drums in the movie, I'm not exaggerating. There are two doctors standing right next to the set. One of them's in scrubs because he came right from the hospital.
Waiting for him to be in pain?
I don't know. Or his leg to fall off.
And is that
something.
The audio of him playing?
That is the audio of him playing. He really learned how to play it.
Okay. Hats off to Mr. Method. So you, before you were a film director, you were an improv guy and a sketch comedy writer. You helped found the Upright Citizens Brigade, the great epicenter of improv in America today. I can't imagine there was a lot of improvisation in this film. Was there?
There was some. Yeah, I always use it as a technique because I find it gets actors loose. Also the style, you know, because we shot this kind of verite with Barry Aykroyd, I wanted some over-talking. So I would just, before the scene would begin, I would say, give us a minute of what happens before the written part. And then I wouldn't call cut when the written part was over. And then about five or six takes in, I would say, completely forget the script. Just know the shape of where you're going. And sort of through all of that, you just get these little magical moments. You get these little mistakes.
And things you use.
Oh, absolutely. They're all over the movie. There's a great moment where Brad Pitt improvised this line about getting a colonic.
Yes, it's
and,
funny.
And the actual actor, Finn Wittrock, broke in the scene and laughed. And we used it.
The Big Short is not your first well-known piece about money, of course. 8 years ago, you made one of the first giant viral videos about a landlord.
You don't have to raise your voice.
You pay now!
I can give you half.
You pay now!
Hey, don't talk to me like that, okay?
I can't give
Look, I thought I was clear in my email that I needed a couple weeks.
I work too hard.
Can I just get 2 more weeks?
I want my money.
You need to relax.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
I want my money.
Hey, don't call me bitch. I'm a grown man.
That is Will Ferrell and your then 2-year-old daughter, Pearl. I remember watching that as I had never watched an online video before. And that was actually early in the game. I loved it, as did 80 million people who watched it amazingly, which is presumably more people than have ever seen any of your films.
I think that's accurate. Yes. and by the way, we shot that in 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, we were in Ferrell's guest house. We were goofing around. We had no idea. And just
So how do you direct your 2-year-old? Just do what daddy says? Or
she was – I don't even think she was quite 2. I think she was 20 months. She's really little. And there's a phase that some kids go through where they will just repeat whatever you say. So yes. my wife and I would have her quote like Sartre. My wife speaks French. We would have her say things in French. I would have her say Public Enemy lyrics. And she would just say them and instantly forget them. So I just told Will. I go, let's bring Pearl over. And I have this idea. It's a landlord. And we just goofed around and gave her the lines and – cut it together in a couple days, and then it just exploded. My wife was so mad at me. She told me beforehand, she said, don't you dare turn our daughter into a child star. And I said, honey, it's going to get like 1 million hits. No one cares. Yeah. And then she was offered a Jackie Chan movie.
Really?
No joke. And she was asked to be on Ellen DeGeneres. People Magazine wanted to do a giant spread on her.
Did you do any of that?
No. My wife was going to throttle me. So.
And she's 10 now?
10.
And do her classmates think, oh, yeah, you were famous?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It actually worked out perfectly because she never really did anything else. She did one other video. So it's like a fun little thing that people know she's the landlord.
But her life hasn't been ruined and turned into a freak.
No. She does own a Corvette and date an Armenian guy who's twice her age.
And a little coke now and then.
A little bit, but just for energy.
You and Will Ferrell have been comedic partners since you were a new writer and he was a new actor at Saturday Night Live 20 years ago, which made me feel old to read that number. You made 5 features together, your first 5.
Mm-hmm.
Big Short is your first one without him.
That's true.
Was that weird?
Oh, it was so freeing. Just that burden, that dark shadow
no
over
more
my whole
Ferrell.
Life. Oh, it was so nice. It was definitely different. I mean, I always joke that any movie set with Will Ferrell on it is 30% better. Like, he's just such a great presence and so much fun to work with. But we fortunately were producing movies that he was doing. So our company – so he has a movie coming out called Daddy's Home that we were producing. And then he went and did another movie with Amy Poehler. So he was super busy when I did this.
Oh, right. So that's your excuse. He didn't have time.
He didn't have time. There's nothing I – but still, God bless him, came and visited it down in New Orleans for 3 days. And hung out on set for no other reason than just to hang out.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
You had directed shorts at Saturday Night Live, but feature film directors really need a certain temperament of spinning these 100 plates all at once and being in it for the long haul and focus and decisiveness and being a leader. So at 35, when you make your first one, Anchorman, did you know, like, I have all that?
I remember when I did my first short at Saturday Night Live, it was called Neil Armstrong, The Ohio Years. And it was about Neil Armstrong just retired in Ohio, going to the store to buy a bag of Doritos. But he's the first man ever to walk on the moon. Yeah. So his constant interior monologue
one small step.
Yeah, it was just like, I landed on the moon, while he's doing these mundane things. And I remember sitting in the chair behind the monitor and just like, ooh, I like this. This is good.
Yeah.
Like, write this thing. You have all these amazing professionals around you doing an incredible job, like making it real. And that, to me, the whole thing is the trick of write something crazy at 1 a.m. and then it's realized by a team of top flight professionals.
Like, but you have to have the ability to get those top flight professionals working together on your behalf and doing what you say,
which is
not everybody who can write the thing, funny thing can do.
Yeah. 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 And I felt comfortable with that. I knew what I wanted as a writer. I've never directed much from stuff that I haven't written. That would be interesting. I feel like the writing is such a part of the directing. They're so connected for me.
Because you are an auteur.
Oh, my God. Thank you, sir. I'm an auteur. I'm going to get my voice very low when you say that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Very Orson Wellesian. Adam McKay, it has been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Big Short is opening across the country right now.
Wow. That was a great interview, man.
Oh, that was my total pleasure.
Yeah. Really cool.
Adam McKay shared lots more funny and revealing moments, more than we are permitted to put in a single episode of this show. You can hear our full conversation, including about why his HBO series Eastbound and Down never made quite the splash it should have. That's at Studio360.org. Hey, hey, said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need, and if I share with you.